Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning. It is great to be with you. My name's Andy, and I'm part of the team here, and I want to introduce our new sermon series called Home. We're going to be journeying this autumn and talking about this idea of home and settling into new homes and what do we receive from home and all those kinds of things. And one of the reasons we're doing this is there's just a bunch of change about to happen with the way we're doing services this autumn. We're going to make some changes that allow us to open up kids ministry and to welcome back home families to our weekly gathering in a much more comprehensive way. That's really exciting. And we also have a real hope for a permanent home, that we might get a permanent home of our own in the coming months, which again would allow us to return to Sunday morning rhythms for the first time since the start of the pandemic, and in a home of our own, which would be really, really exciting. And we hope to announce a lot more about these changes in the coming weeks. So stay tuned to our social media and our weekly emails. Well, on top of all that, we're just at a really strange and interesting stage of things with the pandemic. Some things around us are beginning to return to something like normal. Other things aren't ever going to go back to normal. We're going to have to live into some of these changes, these new normals. We're going to have to make our home within it. Some things will stay the same. Some things will be really different. So we just thought it was going to be really important to focus on this idea of home on multiple level. So we want to welcome people back home to church, to in-person church, after they've been primarily online. We also think it's going to be great to welcome people who are new to BCV, to make BCV their home. And we also want to prepare to help lots of people in our lives and in our city come home to Jesus and to begin life with him, or to reconnect with faith in him after being away. And we just have this new stage of our journey as BCV, as a church. We've been on the move, we've been adapting during difficult and strange times, and now we feel the need to talk about building home again and what that might look like. So we're going to journey all of this for the autumn. Please track with us in this. You know, we do believe that the Lord is speaking to us really clearly about what he has for us, and it's a very important time. And I just want to take a moment and say to anyone who feels like they've been away during the pandemic, you know, maybe you have young kids and the family service and in-person didn't really work for you and you feel really bad about that. And I just want to say to you, just come home. Just come home. Begin to come home to BCV. Maybe you really struggled in the pandemic and you just feel lost. And like all of your bearings have been lost and all that stuff. And I just want to say to you, come home. Come home. No one's judging you. And let your church home be one of those strong anchor points in your life. Maybe you woke up and realized that during the pandemic and all of the online everything, and certainly online church, that just all of that plus the restrictions, they really formed something in you. And now re-engaging in social situations or re-engaging with church in person is really, really hard, and you're struggling. And I just want to say to you, come home. You're so welcome. Come home and begin to re-engage. Maybe you're like me, and you just really struggle with change, and you've kind of just tapped out because there's been nothing but change. And I just want to say to you, come home. Come home. And maybe you've never really known Jesus, or you haven't been seriously following him for a long time, but during the pandemic, you found him and you found us. And I just want to say to you, come home and join our community and be a part of what Jesus is doing with us in this city. No matter what your story is, no matter what your age and stage is, we want to say, come home. So let's let this series called Home, and let's let all that God is doing in and through us, all that God is giving us and calling us to, let's let all that bring us home to him, bring us home to his people and his church, and let's let it propel us to building home again, gathered around Jesus. Well, I want to talk about the longing for home this morning, the longing for home this morning to kick off this new sermon series. Home is a really powerful word, a powerful idea when we stop and consider what's home or where is our home or how do we feel about home. We all have a home or we remember a place that feels like home. Some of us are in that place now with our family. Others of us, we're not in that place now, but you remember your family home as like that place. Some of us never have had a home that we felt loved in or felt safe in, but we visited a home or a home of a relative or a friend became that kind of idealized version of home for us, and we've never forgotten it. Others of us, you know, we never felt like we had that kind of home, but we fantasize this idealized home is somewhere in our hearts or our imaginations. All of us in some way, somehow are actually longing for home. One that we remember, one that's marked us deeply, or because of hardship and lack, a home that we could only ever dream about. One of my favorite authors, a man called Frederick Buechner, writes really powerfully about the longing for home. And he writes this: "To think about home eventually leads you to think back to your childhood home, the place where your life started, the place which off and on throughout your life you keep going back to, if only in dreams and memories, and which is apt to determine the kind of place, perhaps a place inside yourself, that you spend the rest of your life searching for, even if you are not aware that you are searching." We're all longing for home. And home is something I've spent an awful lot of time thinking about personally and searching for. Many of you will know I grew up in the United States and then came here as a young man and have spent the last 20-odd years building home here. And that's been quite a journey. And many times I've felt displaced or confused about where home is. Is it where I grew up or is it here now? And at times it's felt like both and at times it's felt like neither and just really, really confusing. And even this summer, I was on a plane journey back to where I grew up, back home, I guess. And I had spent the months previous really pining for home to see family and to kind of go to the place that I thought of as home where I grew up, just a really deep longing for that place. And so I remember getting settled in on this airplane and the plane takes off. And I started to read a memoir by a man who has an Irish father and an American mother. And his memoir is all about his growing up years and how he feels about this island and America and just all those complicating things. And it didn't take long, about an hour into our journey, somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean, that I began to miss actually this place where I have made my home, this island, this city. And so I've ended up really, really confused at times over where is home. And I just think that even in the best situations for the best homes we've ever been, returning home or building home feels somewhat incomplete. Because we can go home, sure, even to a wonderful home that we grew up in, but the one constant we have in our lives is change. Everything changes, and we've lost people due to relocation, or they've passed away, or just life moves on and everything changes. And even those of us who say we love the homes that we are in right now, maybe that's our church home or the literal home that we have in our building in this place, we all still feel the limitations of those homes. There's a limitation of our sin and brokenness that affects everything, and the limitations of lost opportunities. And then, of course, there's just the limitations of time that we face. Many of us are grieving the loss of home and the longing for home. Many of us are grieving the way we now have to do church. We feel like we've lost our church home. And maybe many of us are even grieving the loss of Fleming Fulton School as our church home. You met God really powerfully there, and that was your church home. And you are really longing for that. Well, the truth is, somewhere deep down, we're all longing for and searching for our true home. And the Bible says some really interesting things about home and our longing for it. It tells us that everyone, especially followers of Jesus, have a deep longing for our true home, that we were made for God, we were made for His presence, and that will not be fully satisfied until the end of all things, when we are fully with Jesus, face to face, in His completely consummated kingdom. But until then, even though we long for our true home, we can build home and be at home and experience a foretaste and a down payment of what is promised to us in our eternal destiny. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the longing for home as we begin our sermon series. Well, if we take a brief tour through the scriptures, we soon see that God is consistently moving towards us and wanting to build his home with us, while at the same time preparing a true home or a final home for us. The first pages of the Bible, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we see God creating man and woman in his image, and it's something of God himself marks each of us. The Imago Dei, or the divine image, is upon every man, woman, and child. We bear the handprint of God upon our lives. We're made in his image. And then we soon see in chapter 2 that God plants a garden and he plants the man and the woman in it. He invites and decrees that the man and woman should make their home in this garden he has created for them. And he invites them to steward it as his royal image bearers. In other words, he just creates a home for them. And I think in the creation narratives, we have the first home. And the first clue as to why we're always longing for home. We bear the image of God. We were made for him in his presence, and we were made for Eden. And ever since sin and brokenness entered into the garden, Adam and Eve and all of us have been longing for a way back home, a way back to the garden. If we move on in the scriptures in the Old Testament to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their stories, we see God promise them a land, a home for their descendants. And then through Moses, the great deliverer of God's people, God used Moses to deliver them from slavery in Egypt, and he led them through the desert to the promised land, to a home he was giving them. And as part of that, he promised to go with them and dwell with them in this new land, in this new home, in first the tabernacle, and then much later when they'd settled into land in the temple. God's presence dwelled with his people and he made his home with them. And again, as we keep moving through the scriptures, we see God's people rejecting God's ways, and he removes his presence and life from them as they take him and his ways for granted. And he then gives them over to their enemies. But then the prophets begin to cry out that one day God would make his home with them and in them again. And we see this in the prophet Ezekiel, my dwelling place will be with them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. As we move into the New Testament, the New Testament opens with the birth of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 1, it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so right away, it's Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel. John's gospel, it says it like this, the word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Son of God, the divine Word of God, became one of us and dwelt among us, made his home among us so we could return through him to our true home. And Jesus in his ministry invites us in John chapter 15 to remain or to abide or to dwell or to make our home in him. And he by the Holy Spirit will be dwelling in us. In John chapter 14, he says, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will come to those who surrender their lives to Jesus and follow him in friendship and obedience. And they will make their home within us. If you are a follower of Jesus and you put your faith in him and given him your yes and believe that his death on the cross covers over your sin and brokenness, if you are his apprentice, then by the Spirit, he has made his home in you. And by his death on the cross for us, he has bought us back. He has made a way for us to return home to Eden, adopted into the family and the household of God. By the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we're welcomed home now and welcomed home forever. God has always been about building and making a home for you and for me. And the apostles talked about this in the later writings in the New Testament, not just about us individually, but that God is dwelling with us corporately, making his home with us corporately now as the church. And we studied this in Ephesians in our big long sermon series on the book of Ephesians this year. And we see in chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, that because of Jesus and our faith in him and his gospel, we are now part of the household of God. But not just that, the church is being birth. And it says in verse 22, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The church is a living temple or a living building, a living dwelling place or home for God's presence. God is seeking to fill the whole earth with his presence by growing the spiritual temple, the church, one stone, one life at a time. And the scriptures culminate in the book of Revelation, and it shows us a glimpse of what happens at the end when Jesus returns. We see this in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 3, where he cries out, the dwelling of God is with men. The telos, the end goal, is the people of God will dwell with him fully. No more longing, and every tear being wiped away, no more death, no more injustice. We will be at home in our true home that we now long for. We can and do get foretastes of our true home as we follow and experience Jesus and gather with his people, and as God makes his home within us. But even though he does make his home with us by his Spirit in the church, and within us, and he empowers us and strengthens us, we still await our true home in all its fullness. And we still do long for home. So what do we do about this longing for home? Well, the New Testament authors speak really movingly about this, that we are both at home in the world, but at the same time still strangers in it, because something in us, deep in our souls, knows that we are still awaiting our true home, where we're redeemed, whole, alive with Jesus, face to face in his fully consummated kingdom. There's a hole in our hearts that only he and his kingdom can fill. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about this tension, and so does the author of the book of Hebrews. In chapter 11, verse 1, the author speaks about faith, and he says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then he goes on to talk about faith, and he lists heroes of the scripture, saying that by faith they did the extraordinary things. It was their faith in God that set them apart. And then in verse 13 and following, he says this. He says, All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And then verse 16 says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They were living by faith and only saw what they hoped for from a distance. They lived with this longing for, as the author says, a better country, or we might say their true home that God was preparing for them. They lived with a longing for home. They lived by faith that they would one day come to their true home by God's grace. And then in chapter 12, it moves on, and the author then addresses us, and he's saying, in light of the example of those who have gone before and who live by faith and live with this longing for their true home, how should we now live? Should we circle the wagons until Jesus returns? Should we give in to apathy and discouragement and despair? No, he says in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Those verses tell us we're not to give in. Those verses are very active. We are to be very active in the world. We are to resist sin. We are to resist anything that is an obstacle. We are to run our race. We are to live in faith. We are to have perseverance for now. We are to have our eyes and our hearts fixed and focused on Jesus as our example and as our Savior and as our Lord. Jesus, who made his home with us Jesus, who makes his home with us, even now by his Spirit and in our church, and Jesus, who ensures our place in the true home that he has for us. Our eyes and hearts need to be focused on him. And what if, even as we now long for our true home, we are to run our race by allowing Jesus to build his home with us as individuals, as we intentionally pursue him as his apprentices and his friends and followers? What if we are to run our race by being gathered around Jesus as part of his church, as the Spirit knits us together and builds and rebuilds us together into a home for Jesus and a home for us? And what if we are to run our race by building home as the church everywhere we can for everyone that we meet? Homes that are alive with the presence of God. Homes that are alive with the good news of the gospel. Homes that are alive with the power of his love and mercy. Homes that are alive with the power of his justice and compassion moving into the world. And what if the Spirit of God and the church home that we are being gathered into and the homes we build and invite people into are foretastes and down payments and previews of our true home that we long for? Well, I want to return to Frederick Buechner's thoughts on the longing for home. And he ends his beautiful essay by saying this. He says, "I cannot claim that I have found the home I long for every day of my life, not by a long shot, but I believe in my heart I have found and maybe always have known the way that leads to it. I believe that the home we long for and belong to is finally where Christ is. I believe that home is Christ's kingdom, which exists both within us and among us as we wend our prodigal ways through the world in search of it. What if the longing for our true home is to keep us focused, committed to Jesus, committed to his church and people, committed to rhythms in his presence, and committed to moving through this world as his disciples, inviting others to come home and to help us build home and to help us build a home that many can come home to? And what if right now, this autumn, this moment in the pandemic journey, the dissatisfaction that we feel with church or family or our life or all three is actually rooted in grief from what we have lost and rooted in a longing for our true home? And what if the answer isn't to disengage, but to engage with Jesus and our life with him, to engage with his people and our church, and to engage by building and rebuilding home as acts of faith that point to the day when we will be with him face to face, redeemed and whole? Let's not miss what Jesus has for us this autumn as we call and welcome many home. As we think about home, what we should have received or did receive at home. What if it's time to come home, build home, and let the longing for home call us to more than just occupying physical space, but to build a home in the city for many who need one, and to continue to allow the Spirit of God to build his home in us and to form us into the people that bring heaven's home everywhere we go, even as we move through life following Jesus and longing for and looking forward to our true home with him. I want to end by praying for us, and I just had the sense that maybe you are coming home to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're in our Alpha course that answers questions about faith and following Jesus, and you want to begin following him and building friendship with him, and we would love to help you do that. So please email info@belfastcityvineyard.com, and we would love to invite you into relationship and life with Jesus and help you with that. Maybe you're watching this and you're coming back from being away, and you've just not been following Jesus for a while. And I just want to say to you, come home. Come home to Jesus. Now is the time. Come home to his welcoming embrace. And maybe you're watching this and you have been just detached through whatever with the pandemic. And I want to say to you, it's time to come home. Something's been formed in you that makes it hard to return to in person. And it's just leading you away rather than closer to home. And I just want to say, Spirit of God, come and call us home. Would engagement with you, your kingdom, and your church form and shape something and negate some of that negative formation and build some positive formation and reignite passions and excitement and health and hopefulness in our lives again? Others of you, you know you're a builder. You're a builder of home. And something is rising in you. And you're getting excited. And it's time to run your race again. It's time to fix your eyes on Jesus and to really go for this and to help us build home in the various parts of the city we find ourselves in. So I just want to ask that the Spirit of God would come in every home. Would you bless our homes and would you call us home? And would you let the longing for our heavenly home focus us on life with you, life together in community gathered around you in church? And would you allow our longing for home to focus us on building homes for those who don't have homes? And may we see many men, women, and children in the coming weeks, months, and years gathered into home with you forever, because we're committed to following you and letting the longing for home point us in that direction. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower your church. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.